Chapter 8.
Well, you've done very impressive work.
Emma closed her notebook and gazed around at the hopeful faces of the villagers.
The way you plant your vegetables shows us that you know the land.
Fila planted the blunt end of her spear into the ground.
Right down to the soil.
Yes, your method of cultivation makes you active partners in nutrient replacement instead of passive scavengers,
Acrasis said. And your buildings look really well made. I patted the bark wall of the wigwam. I was half expecting the sheet of dried bark to fall off under my hand, but it was so sturdily constructed that it was like patting the side of a wooden wall. Pretty good for something that's just a bunch of sticks and bark. Easy to make, too.
What do you think, Floppy?
Little Bear asked as he held a dried berry up to Floppy's mouth. The stout young man had barely budged from Floppy's side all day. Floppy delicately nibbled the berry off of Little Bear's tan hand, tilted his head to the side as he chewed, and nodded his head. Then he tussled Little Bear's dark hair with his trunk.
Floppy is also impressed with your land,
Fila said as she rubbed the back of Floppy's head.
We all agree that you have used your resources wisely,
Acrasis said.
Does that mean we're ready to fight?
Asked one of the grannies. She waved a knobbled stick up in the air.
We all have our weapons stored where we can get our hands on them,
said a woman with two buckskin-wrapped babies in her arms.
We can be ready to attack by dusk.
All of you? I asked.
All of us ready to fight,
said a little girl. Her tiny pigtails and chubby face made her look like Boo from Monsters, Inc. But her buckskin overalls and slingshot suggested a Dennis the Menace vibe. She picked up a rock from the ground, then waved her slingshot in the air.
Cue the sacrificers! They took my daddy.
My stomach sank as I imagined the little girl rushing into battle, only to be trampled under the gold-clad hooves of the huge war bison. I hoped that the grandmothers wouldn't let the littlest children fight in the war. But I had a feeling that the mother who'd held the children would rush into battle whether she had her babies in her arms or not. I couldn't live with myself if I was the catalyst for letting the kids, moms, and grannies rush into battle and be slaughtered at the hands of the Aztec warriors.
We all have to talk about what we've seen before we make a decision, I said. I glanced up at the sky and then at my watch. I could tell that the sun was going to start thinking about setting soon, and judging by that criteria, it would rise maybe an hour before we were due to leave. It's not really fair to do that right in front of you guys, so we're going to go back to our home and talk about it, and we'll tell you what we've decided tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Chief Red Squirrel's face fell. She leaned in and whispered.
I thought you were only here for 3 days.
We're scheduled to leave a little after sunrise, I explained. I cleared my throat and raised my voice for the crowd. We will deliberate on what we think is the best thing for you to do tonight. Come to our home at sunrise tomorrow.
Do you mean our home here, like the shrine?
Emma pointed to the new wigwam. No, I mean our home in the woods, I said. You will see a home inside a circle of dirt. You are to stay outside of that circle of dirt and in the trees, no matter what happens. The circle of dirt is part of our home, and when we go back to the spirit world, it's going to come with us.
Spirits! Spirits!
An old granny crawled forward through the crowd and touched her head to the dirt in front of us.
Oh, do please get up,
Emma sighed. She bent down to help the old woman up. No more bowing like that. I squatted down and let the old lady grip my arm as she hauled herself up.
Spirits, won't you take me with you to the spirit world?
The old lady begged. She clung to Emma's hand and my arm with trembling fingers, and her dark eyes filled with tears as she looked at us.
I am too old to fight, and I don't know if I will last another winter. Take me to the world beyond now, where it doesn't hurt.
I honestly thought for a few minutes about taking her with us, but she was so frail that she seemed like she would crumble in mine and Emma's hands at any moment. I had no idea what kind of world I'd be dragging her into, and I couldn't even be sure that she'd be safe resting on a futon in our makeshift home. Your people need you, Grandmother, I said. I'd noticed that everyone called the old ladies Auntie and Grandmother, and I didn't think they were all related to each other, so I figured it had to be just a respectful form of address. You need to stay with them and share your wisdom with the young people. You're going to have a much longer life than you think you are.
No, oh, thank you, spirits.
The old lady burst out crying. That goes for all of you, by the way, I called.
Nobody try to come with us. If you try to come with us, it won't take you to the spirit world. Not the way it will for us.
Your physical bodies won't be able to handle the stress of transubstantiation,
Emma explained. Well, that earned a lot of confused faces. Your souls will explode into nothing, I said. I had no idea if that was actually a decent translation of what Emma had said, but I figured it would scare people from trying to come with us anyway. You won't get to the spirit world. You'll just be little bits of spirit shrapnel. More people started to look at each other and murmur, and I hoped that had done the trick.
The sun is going down,
Acrasis pointed up at the sky.
Not all of us are able to see in the dark. We should get going if we are going to get back to our home base.
We have no more time to answer prayers,
Fila announced. Her yellow-green eyes gleamed in the orange light of the evening sun.
I have to get these spirits back home before they cannot see where they step.
We'll all see you in the morning,
Emma waved to the people as we turned to leave. Floppy flapped his ears and waved his trunk, then bent down and tussled Little Bear's hair one last time. He wrapped his trunk around the boy's waist as the stout young man hugged the mammoth around his neck.
I'll miss you, Floppy.
Little Bear patted Floppy on the trunk. Then he wiped away a tear as the little mammoth shuffled off into the underbrush. It was really great to meet you all. I waved to the crowd of cheering boys and women, marched into the woods, then surreptitiously checked my watch. I had a compass in my watch that always showed me where the car and the dimensional engine patent pending were, but it didn't show me how far away it was, what the topography was like, or any number of factors that would make it easier to plan how long it would take to get there. I also didn't have a flashlight with me, and I hadn't thought to bring one of the lanterns, so I would have to rely on Fila's sharp eyes in case the sun actually went down while we were roaming around in the woods. All right, everyone, follow me, and keep it down. We still don't know who's patrolling these woods. We made it back to base as the red sun slipped underneath the trees.
What do you mean we need time to discuss it?
Emma asked as soon as we stepped foot onto the familiar dirt circle. I glanced back into the trees. Fila, you didn't hear anyone follow us back from the village, did you?
I did not hear anyone follow us back, but these people know how to walk quietly,
Fila said. She peered into the darkness and her pointed ears pricked up on top of her head.
I do not see them either. Do you think they would have followed us back?
The aged being who asked to be taken into the spirit world may have attempted to do so,
Acrasis said.
Or perhaps any of the other individuals who may have wished for a quick transition to an afterlife condition without the intervening pain of death. It does not seem unreasonable if you believe that your consciousness will transition to another plane of existence after your physical body.
Okay, an old lady who couldn't get up on her own isn't going to have followed us here through the woods, I said. I think we're safe. Plus, I kind of told them that their souls would explode. I think that actually might have gotten through to them.
We've got to talk about what we're going to tell these people at sunrise tomorrow,
Emma said.
We can't possibly just tell them to sit tight and let themselves be slaughtered, can we?
No. I just said that to buy us some time. I held up my hands. You saw how ready those people were to fight the Eagle Warriors, and that crowd was like half-old ladies. They'd want us to attack right away, and they'd probably want to attack in the dark, too. I know that attacking in the dark is a classic guerrilla tactic, but we don't have any night vision goggles.
But are we going to tell them to fight when they come to see us?
Emma said.
I mean, we've got to, Dave. The chief said that she's got loads of warriors ready to tell everyone to rise up and fight against the invaders, and they've just been waiting for the right sign. I don't think that there's going to be another sign coming for these people anytime soon.
Their hearts are filled with the spirit of the warrior,
Fila said.
But the shaman prophesied their loss. He said that their numbers are too small against the sacrificers for them to win the war.
The shaman may not be aware of the information that the chief has about their sleeper agents in the invading army,
Acrasis said.
He may believe that the only warriors who will be involved in the fight will be the other members of the village. If that is the case, he is incorrect in his prediction.
But the shaman speaks with the real spirits,
Fila argued.
If he says that they will lose in their fight against the invaders, then the spirits have told him that they will lose. It will not matter how strong or how weak each side is. The spirits will favor one against the other.
You don't think that shaman was actually passing along messages from the spirits, do you?
Emma asked.
He is a shaman. It is how they work. If a shaman does not pass along true messages from the spirits, they get run out of the pack very quickly. The spirits come to the other members of the pack in dreams and tell them the truth behind the shaman's words. Then we all get together and throw the imposter shaman out of the pack to wander the wastelands as a lone lion.
Wow, did that happen in your pack? I asked Fila.
No, but I have heard of it happening in other packs. It often happens with male cubs who are allowed to grow up, but who have reason to fear that they will be thrown out or killed once they become old enough to look for a mate. They will be kept in a pack and allowed to mate in order to pass on the gift of speaking with spirits, and they are not allowed to hunt in case the pack loses them and their gifts. Not every pack is lucky enough to have a speaker to the spirits.
Perhaps they simply aren't sharing those dreams,
Emma suggested.
Perhaps the shaman has scared the dreamers into not talking about them.
But why would the shaman lie?
Acrasis asked.
If his people win the way, he would be revered even more than he is now.
Or maybe the reason he's the shaman is that he's lying in the first place, I said. Tall Grass said his grandmother was the last shaman of the village, which means that he must remember her, right? I bet she died during the invasion, and the Aztecs probably installed Grandfather Day as a shaman who'd be friendly to them. He's probably been lying to the people all this time just to keep his position.
So he is lying to avoid being killed by the sacrificers. It makes sense.
Do you think that he sent the Eagle Warriors after us? He knew about us after all, and the chief seemed like she'd only heard of us after the warrior told her about the fight.
But the Eagle Lord has not sent any more warriors after us, and it seems that we did not have the Eagle Lord or his warriors paying attention to us in the village today. How do you think we escaped his attention? Or do you think that they are regrouping?
If they'd tried to get more troops from the city, they'd probably have gotten here sometime during the day. I bet the shaman thought it would make him look bad to have a bunch of spirits show right up in the middle of the village without running it by the Eagle Lord first. So he probably got some of the guys to go and try and kill us without letting the big dude know. And it didn't work, so he has to figure out what to do now.
Which I'm sure will involve sending more of those warriors after us, especially as I'm sure he's going to find out that we're going to give our pep talk to the village just before sunrise. He certainly won't want that to happen.
No, you're right. And we know that we can take on a troop of those warriors. I'm not sure about an entire army, though.
We will just have to keep a watch and stand our ground,
Fila said. She held up her spear.
I can stay up longer than you humans can, but Floppy and I can only take on so many warriors at one time. We will need Emma or Acrasis to stay with us.
You sure you don't want the Thundermaker with you? I pulled my Glock an inch out of its holster.
You only have so many bullets. So far I have not seen Emma run out of lightning or Acrasis run out of appetite.
I'm really too keyed up to sleep. I know I won't be able to stop thinking about those poor people and the battle before them for quite a while yet. I'll take the first watch with you, Fila.
Then we will keep you company as you rest, Dave Meyer.
Acrasis smiled at me and crooked a finger as she backed inside. It was the most expressive I'd seen her yet. I kissed Emma and Fila goodnight, patted Floppy on the head, and then headed inside to bed. I set my watch alarm to an hour before we were scheduled to leave, shucked off my clothes, and made myself as comfortable on one of the futons as I could.
Would you prefer us to retain a human form?
Acrasis gestured to her burgundy-haired disguise that was halfway between Emma and Fila. She'd changed her street clothes to a skimpy red see-through nightie that showed off the brown points of her nipples and the dark V of her pubic hair, and her perfectly shaped feet were even shod in a pair of those old-fashioned high-heeled slippers with marabou feathers on the toes. She looked like a picture of perfection. But there was something about looking at her perfect facsimile of a sexy female body that was kind of unsatisfying. Now I finally understand what Magneto had felt in X-Men First Class when he'd looked at Rebecca Romijn and Jennifer Lawrence nearly naked on a bed and declared that he'd rather look at a bright blue mutant. You don't have to do that when you're not around other people who don't get your slime mold thing if you don't want to, I said.
We find it worth the effort to retain a humanoid shape so that we can converse with you and your pack.
Acrasis's peach skin and burgundy hair rippled back to her gleaming, semi-translucent, and rainbow oil slick of an outer membrane. the Red Nighty disappeared back into her skin to expose the featureless V between her legs and the concentric purple and green rings that swirled over her perfectly round breasts.
But it does take extra concentration to retain a different color.
Perfection, I murmured, as I watched the setting sun bounce off the slime girl's jewel-toned skin. My eyes traveled down her glistening throat, the perfectly round and smooth globes of her breasts, and the curves that glimmered with slowly moving feathered patterns of purple and green.
We are glad you find us pleasing.
Acrasis sauntered toward me and settled on the quilt that I draped over the futon.
Do you think you have the energetic reserves to attempt sexual reproduction tonight, Dave? I have prepared my eggs to receive your DNA via vaginal insemination.
Talk sexy to me some more. I reached out and brushed my hand against the side of Acrasis's neck, then captured her pearly lips with mine. Acrasis's lips were slick and smooth with a little tension, like the surface of a just-filled water balloon, and her tongue was the same texture. The inside of her mouth was soft and smooth, but gave way a little under my tongue, and I quickly realized that the internal cavity was shaping itself around my tongue even as I kissed her. Acrasis's own tongue fluttered along my lips, slipped into my mouth, and wiggled over my own tongue as it dipped deeper inside of me. Her lithe tongue brushed against the back of my palate as I hummed into her mouth, then began to slide down the back of my throat. I breathed out through my nose to keep from inhaling any of my slime girlfriend, then I gently pulled away from her mouth. I could feel her long tongue sliding out of me like an especially long linguine noodle or a piece of fruit by the foot paper as we separated, and I could feel the tip pull away from my tongue as she let go of me.
Was that a satisfactory kiss?
I have never had a kiss like that before, I told her, and that was the truth. I didn't know quite how I would address the oddities in Acrasis's kiss, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to. I'd kissed plenty of plain human girls in my life, but the erotic possibilities of a woman made out of truly pliable slime simply could not be ignored.
We did notice that your texture and density is different from ours, probably because your protein structures are more complex than ours,
Acrasis said. Her shifting jewel-toned eyes gazed into mine.
We can alter our density to match yours, although we will need to retrieve some of our protoplasm for that. We left it under the bed.
You left part of your body under the bed? I glanced under the futon to see a gently quivering mound of gleaming slime. Wow. No, your density's fine. Feel free to do whatever. When did you cut that part off? Is that a new you?
We thought it might be noticed at the village. It is merely a detached section of our current body. We would prefer to experiment with sexual reproduction rather than mitosis at this stage.
Right, right. Sexual reproduction. I propped myself up on the pillows and studied Acrasis's body. I could see light coming in faintly through her edges, but she wasn't translucent enough for me to check for organs inside of her body. Can you actually create a uterus and everything in there, or what?
We may be able to, given enough time and concentration. However, we are not sure if we would be able to make it work correctly. We were thinking of a more direct approach to mixing the DNA.
And that is? I raised an eyebrow and grinned.
We would take some of your DNA,
Acrasis began, but I held up a hand. Can you do me a favor? I asked. Just refer to yourself as I when you're talking about yourself. I know you're probably used to speaking for a whole hive mind, but it's kind of confusing.
We will begin to do so,
Acrasis agreed, and then she smiled.
I will begin to do so.
That's a lot better. Thank you. I bent forward and gave her a soft kiss on the lips, and then sat back again. So what kind of DNA mixing did you want to do?
I will take the DNA in your sperm and combine it with DNA eggs I have created in my lower stomach cavity. The combination will happen at the chromosomal level,
Acrasis said. She laid down on the blanket next to me and propped herself up on her elbow. The point of her elbow flattened and spread out a little as she settled the rest of her weight onto it.
If I were reproducing with another of my people, All we would need to do would be to find a wet, nutrient-filled place for it to spore. However, I am unsure what kind of incubation method would be needed for a hybrid child, so I am creating a safe cavity for it to grow away from the other functioning parts of my body.
So, a uterus, I snickered.
Oh.
She tilted her head to the side and actually blinked twice.
I suppose you are correct enough with that word. I'm not sure it will work the first time, so I might need to receive many vaginal injections of your sperm.
That's totally fine. I slid my arm around Acrasis and pressed my warm, hairy body to her slightly cool, dolphin-smooth skin. We can experiment with all that later. Humans like to have sex for pleasure, not just to reproduce. Do you want to try that?
I would be very interested. I do not have nerve endings the way that humans do. However, I do find certain stimuli pleasurable.
Such as? I ran my fingers gently along the side of her face. It was a little weird to touch someone who was so smooth and also a little physically cooler than I was, but it wasn't a bad feeling, just different. I'm going to guess that eating is part of it, but I'd really prefer it if you didn't eat me.
Finding a rich cache of nutrients is one. So is being moist, or being on top of a soft surface that does not take much concentration to adhere to.
What about sexual pleasure? I ran my hand down Acrasis's curvy side, then trailed my fingers across the V between her legs. Do you get any joy out of combining DNA?
The satisfaction of a job well done.
Acrasis's skin rippled slightly under my fingers. What about pleasure that grows and ebbs and then grows again, and goes back and forth and builds up more each time until it peaks? I asked. I trailed my fingers down across Acrasis's round, astonishingly perky, completely nippleless breasts. Or is there any part of you that's more sensitive than the other parts? Acrasis pressed her lips together to make a humming noise, but her sensuous expression didn't change, and neither did her soft gaze. She was clearly still getting the hang of human expressions, but the more I stayed around her, the less I minded the occasional incongruity.
I do not recall a feeling like that, but my species is able to increase sensation in small parts of our body in order to investigate objects more thoroughly using touch. I am concerned that overstimulation will only cause me discomfort, however.
Well, we can experiment. I slid my hand down Acrasis's thigh, then trailed my fingers up her stomach and back up those gorgeous and eerily featureless breasts. My fingertips left little trails in the surface of Acrasis's skin, like little swirling clouds of smoke from an incense stick, or like rills in the foam of a piece of latte art. I'm sure we can find something that feels as good to you as sex does to me.
I have no basis for comparison.
Acrasis's fingers slid through mine, and I tried not to think too hard about whether they were still whole fingers or whether she'd simply wrapped my hand in her pleasant, cool goo.
But I believe that we can remedy that.
What's your plan? I felt my hand tingle a little in Acrasis's gentle grip. I remembered the way my skin had prickled painfully when she tasted my body for the first time. But this tingle was gentler and more comfortable, like the feeling of a cooling menthol rub on sore muscles. Ooh, that feels pretty nice, actually. What are you doing?
I am attempting to connect to your peripheral nervous system. That should be sufficient to allow me to experience your physical sensations, including that of sexual satisfaction. That way, all you will need to do is demonstrate the feeling to me.
That's a pretty brilliant idea. But warn me before you try to connect with me, okay? I asked. I was suddenly extremely aware of the way the soft cotton of the quilt under me felt against my bare skin, the way my naked thighs rubbed against each other, and even the way my hair rubbed against my scalp. I couldn't tell if it was Acrasis's doing or just because I was feeling self-conscious about my physicality as a being, but it was a little weird to suddenly feel aware of how everything on my skin was feeling. Just so I know what's going on.
I will keep that in mind for next time.
Acrasis clasped my hands in hers. Her fingers melted around mine to become a gleaming blob.
If you enjoy this sensation, I can replicate it without the necessity of neural connection. It is simply a stimulation of the nerves.
It feels good, but not sexy good, I said. More like if my hands were sore, it would be amazing. I'm not going to come from it, though.
Let me try another physical sensation,
Acrasis said. The blob of slime that she'd collected around my hands started to gently clench in rhythmic pulses around my fingers. That's a little more like it, I sighed. I felt like my fingers were being gently sucked on, but in all directions instead of just up and down. Fingers are an erogenous zone for humans, and that feels really nice. But I'm not going to come from that either. Try a little lower down.
Like this?
Acrasis pressed her body against me. She felt like a firm human body against me for just a moment, and then her slime began to mold itself against me. Her body rippled and pulsed gently as her skin settled against mine, and her slime began to seep into the cracks and crevices of my body. She nestled her face into my neck and slid her moist tongue and melting lips up and down the curve of my throat. That is really interesting. I spread my legs a little and then rolled over onto my back so I could relax into the feeling of the slime girl's body against mine. I could feel her smooth, cool flesh spreading all over my skin, and I was amazed at how good the sensation felt on my skin. My cock was starting to enjoy the attention, too, and I could feel myself getting hard as Acrasis's slime body closed around my genitals. I raised my arms and tried to slide my arms around her, but my hands started to sink into the soft goo of her rippling back, so I splayed my fingers out to take advantage of her surface tension. My hands floated on her back as her body rippled over mine. Oh, that's even better. You can feel which parts of me are enjoying this the most, right?
I can feel everything that you are physically feeling,
Acrasis responded. It almost felt as though she was speaking inside my head instead of into my ears, but her voice didn't sound any different from the last time she'd spoken. Her body dripped slowly over mine as her slime form rippled up and down my cock. The cool tug of her slime pulled slow, insistent waves of pleasure through my body, like cool waves washing over me at a hot beach.
I can feel how good this is to you. Do you want me to keep going?
Please don't stop, I moaned. I closed my eyes as Acrasis worked her silky gel up and down my shaft. My hips bucked up into her soft body, and I could feel her squish against the inside of my thighs. I barely even had to move to enjoy the rippling, pulsing sensation of her silky insides against my cock.
This feels very good,
the slime girl muttered.
I will create the vaginal tunnel for you to penetrate my body.
Oh, yes, I groaned as I felt her form around my cock and then began to squeeze around the shaft like a perfectly made mold. Acrasis's smooth, pliable body did incredible things to my cock. Her protoplasm sent opposing waves rippling up and down my shaft at the same time, formed ribbed patterns around my cock, and even rotated in concentric circles around my throbbing head. Each new pattern and shape pulled another wave of pleasure out of my stomach and sent lightning bolts of lust shooting up and down my spine. Her gooey body sucked at each of my fingers and caressed every inch of my skin as she worked my sensitive cock.
Amazing,
the slime gasped.
I'm giving and receiving so much pleasure.
Yeah, I'm going to orgasm soon. I could barely form words at the moment.
Please do. I desire your DNA. Pour it into me. Give me your sperm, Dave.
The waves of pleasure that rippled through my body met and pooled inside my groin. And with every eddy of lust, my cock got harder. Soon the pleasure started to mount inside my stomach, and I could feel my organs uncoiling deep in my guts. The coils and spirals of pleasurable sensation pulled me up higher and higher into the peak of my orgasm, and then exploded at the zenith like a firework. The feeling of orgasm sparked along every nerve ending in my body as I shot my load into Acrasis's silken body. I could feel the muscles in my groin tense and release as I came,
But for once, the feeling wasn't centered directly in my groin. It was more like an all-over pool of pleasure that sent every piece of my flesh flying into space in a different direction until I fizzled out into a deliciously deep pool of total relaxation. Every one of my muscles felt like they were about the same density as Acrasis's body.
I captured an adequate amount of your reproductive DNA,
Acrasis murmured as she glanced down her body to where we were still connected. My eyes followed hers, and through her slightly opaque, rainbow-hued, oil-slick body, I could see the outline of my still-hard cock deep inside of her. "Is that my sperm?" I asked, as I saw a slightly white cloud drift away from my tip and up more towards her stomach.
"Yes. It naturally wants to swim in the direction of a reproductive embryo, but I am assisting the travel path some. Do you mind if I experiment with combining our genetic materials to create an offspring?"
Experiment away. I looked up into Acrasis's gleaming, swirling eyes and her sculpted, translucent face. But was that good for you? Did you enjoy it?
I have never experienced a pleasure so transcendent,
Acrasis said in the same neutral tone that she used for everything.
Nothing I have eaten or felt has ever compared to the experience I just shared with you.
Good, I murmured. I could feel my hands start to sink into Acrasis's body as my own body started to sink back into that deep pool of relaxation.
Next time, I believe I shall be able to replicate it within my own physical form.
Acrasis's lips slipped over mine as her body settled like a smooth blanket over mine. Even though she was cool and smooth to the touch, I started to feel warmer almost immediately, and her body began to grow warmer against mine as her impermeable body trapped my radiant heat. "That would be wonderful," I whispered. "I want you to have your own pleasure."
"I will, Dave,"
she whispered into my ear.
"Sleep now. I have taken much of your sperm, and you will need to recover so that you can give me more soon."
"Okay." I slipped off into sleep pretty quickly, but I woke up to a ringing trumpet from Floppy. "What?" I sat straight up and scrubbed the heel of my hand across my face, then realized that I was bone dry and completely naked. I pushed myself off of the futon and scrabbled for my jeans and holster belt. Fuck, is there trouble?"
"Warriors,"
Acrasis said. She stood in her Native American guise at the foot of the futon.
"They have not attacked yet, but I believe they do not mean us well. I am currently monitoring the situation."
I yanked on my jeans as quickly as I could, grabbed the holster belt, and headed toward the door. Someone had betrayed us.